I'll tell you, I'm not going to, Brother Jeff and Miss Margie are here. I won't break your heart tonight, but listen, you ought to get around this family while they're here, because they're going to be on deputation soon, and we'll be missing them. Amen. And Miss Ewald, you won't be doing that unless you're going with them on deputation. Amen. And you never know, Brother Mike and Miss Vicky may get a bus. Amen. As I say to Brother Horsch, when we start singing, Brother Horsch and I will go, I say, you know what? We ought to get a bus, go on the road, and fix other buses. Amen. That's something we can do. Praise God. Amen. Oh, you know what? Every one of us exercises faith at some point and on something on a daily basis. Every one of us is exercising faith. You know, atheists in debate consistently try to establish the principle that they have no faith whatsoever. You know what I say to that? It's an old term for caramel corn. Poppycock. Poppycock. No, they have faith every day. A person who endorses and deposits a check has faith in that institution in which they are depositing it. They have faith that that amount will go into their account properly. A person, praise God, I'm one of these kind, Brother Lem, a person who flips on a light switch. Not everybody has Lem's electrical knowledge, amen. I have faith that the light will come on. And most times it does. Sometimes, got to change the bulb, amen. Sometimes, got to flip the breaker, amen. But faith, if you have dropped off, picked up, and ingested a prescription, you have exercised faith. Some will say great faith, amen. That's faith. If you've ever gotten onto an airplane, let me tell you something. You have placed a lot of faith in a lot of people. I worked in the aerospace industry for years, Brother Hauser, amen. You did too. Hey, listen, there's a lot of moving parts that go together to make an airplane go up in the air. Not to mention the pilot, co-pilot, amen. All those things, great faith, amen. If you ever stepped onto the second floor of a house, you had faith that whoever put that house together did a good job, amen. Faith. If you've ever taken a drink of water out of a faucet, I love those things they have online. It says, if you did this when you were a child, like it or something on Facebook, it's got a kid drinking out of a hose. You know, I survived the 80s because I drank out of a hose. Amen. How did we ever know? Amen. That's faith. Faith. If you drive a vehicle, particularly with other drivers around, you exercise great faith. Amen. Faith. God, you know, the Bible says in Romans 12, in verse 3, just by way of introduction, notice the inception of faith. The inception of faith is this: God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. We've said it before, you've said it, you've heard it. There's a God-sized hole in every man, amen? There's only one thing that can fill it: faith. Faith. And God has placed within us enough faith in every one of us to be able to trust Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Every man has enough faith to be saved. But you say, Pastor, but not everybody is saved. Why not? Well, I think the Lord Jesus cleared that up in John 5:40. He said to the Pharisees, "Ye will not come unto me that you might have life." He didn't say you couldn't, as our Calvinist brethren will try to convince us. He didn't say you couldn't come to me. He said, you just don't, because you don't want to. I'm here and I'm available. Amen? And He still is. That's right. To anybody. So the inception of faith. There's enough faith inside of us to trust Christ. Inside of everyone. But I want you to notice with me, hold your place in Matthew and then go with me over to Hebrews chapter 11. Of course, the great hall of faith is in Hebrews chapter 11 when we read about these great characters of the Bible. And what was the distinguishing characteristic that set them apart? It was only one thing, faith. Faith. So we see the inception of faith. We see here what I call the impossibility of faith. The impossibility of faith. In verse number 6. Here you are tonight, maybe you're here and you're doubting God, and you're even maybe a skeptic or a scoffer. I want to take this verse and put it plainly to you. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You say, but you don't know me. No, it's impossible to please Him. When God says something's impossible, it's impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. If we're going to live the Christian life that God wants us to live, and as we said this morning here, well done, thou good and faithful servant, it's going to take faith. Faith isn't always easy. It's a lot easier to live by sight, isn't it? Amen. The impossibility of faith. It's impossible without faith to please God. But you know, there was a time when the disciples came to Jesus and they said, Lord, increase our faith. Not only the inception of faith and the impossibility of faith, but the increase of faith. As we learn about, as we trust, and as we obey the Lord. And you can do the first two and not do the third, and it won't amount to a bit of good. Listen to me. Jehovah's Witnesses have head knowledge of God. Plenty of it. Mormons have head knowledge of God. A lot of Baptists have head knowledge of God. I'm telling you what, Jesus was the one who said in Matthew chapter 7, here's the difference between the wise man and the fool. They both hear the word of God. The wise man does it. Amen. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Listen, folks, the reason we're in the mess we're in America is because Christians a long time back said, you know what, it's okay to hear the word and not do it. No, it's not either. God help us to do the word till the day we die. Like old David Livingston. Old David Livingston, you remember the story. All the privations he went through, had his arm ripped off by a lion, and when they found him, Brother Horch, he was praying when he died. God help us to be like that. Amen. The increase of faith. So our faith increases as we learn about, as we trust, as we obey the Word of God. And by the way, that's Romans 10 and 17. For now, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And you know this? As our faith increases, as we grow in the Lord, you know, the Bible says we can even reach the level of great faith. You know, there's two people that Jesus said had great faith. And it's amazing because both of them were what I guess maybe we would refer to as outside of Israel or outside of the church. One was the centurion in Matthew chapter 8, verse 10. Remember, he had a servant that was sick. And he just told Jesus, said, look, you don't even, I've heard all about you. You don't even need to come near my house. All you have to do is say the word. And he said, you have great faith. And then the other time was in Matthew, I believe it's 15, where the Syrophoenician woman came to Jesus, who had a daughter that was sick, and asked him to heal. And he said, look, right now I'm sent to the lost sheep of Israel. And said, you know, it's not fit to give the king's bread to the dogs. And remember what she said? She said, that's true, Lord, but the dogs feed off the crumbs which fall from the rich man's table. And he said, you got great faith. Go thy way, thy daughter is healed. You know what? There's people in this room, and they may not be the people you think, that God looks down at them and they says, boy, they got great faith. Great faith. Listen, I feel like many times, and I'm sure you're the same way, I feel like I have little faith. Little faith. But you know, we can have great faith. That's encouraging. Amen? If God could say that about two others there, He could certainly say that about us. So the inception of faith, the impossibility of faith, the increase of faith, the immeasurability of faith. Go to Matthew chapter 21. What a great verse. What a great verse. The immeasurability of faith. Matthew chapter 21, verse 21. Listen, you know this verse. You've heard this before. It says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done unto the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and it be cast into the sea, it shall be done." You know what I call it? I call that the immeasurability of faith. Listen, as finite human beings, we could all say this. There's only so much we could do. Men? That's not true with God. He's only bound by His Word. Amen? There's certain things. I remember Dr. Malone preached a message one time. I was new in Bible college. He preached a message called Five Things God Cannot Do. And I was, as soon as he gave the title, I said, "What are you talking about? Mister, I've been in the ministry 50 years. God can do anything He wants." Well, He can't break His Word. Amen. And he went on and on and on. And maybe one day I'll be in the ministry 50 years and have the guts to preach that. Amen. But here it tells us that while we can only do the measurable, God, through faith, can do the immeasurable. Thank God for that. Amen. Thank God for the immeasurability of faith. But you know what the most important part of faith is? I ran you all the way back to Matthew. I've got to run you back to Hebrews again. You know what the most important part of faith is? Is the item of faith. The item of faith. See, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, not only the inception, the impossibility, the increase, the immeasurability, but the item of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 again. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. So I'm just walking around, Brother Jim, and I said, "You know, I have faith. I have faith. I have faith. I'm glad I have faith. I have faith. I have faith. I have faith." That's nice. Faith in what? Faith in who? What does it say? But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek. The key to our faith is the object of our faith, and that's God. It's God. Amen. So we're talking here tonight about faith. About faith. And if you go back, I'm sorry, back to Matthew. I've been marching you all over the Bible tonight. I'll tell you what, you'd think we were a Bible-believing church or something. Amen. If you go back to Matthew chapter 6, it's a great chapter of the Word of God. It's right smack dab in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. Probably the greatest sermon ever preached, amen. And it's toss up, brother Becker, between the Sermon on the Mount and the last sermon there in Matthew 23, 24, 25, amen. Just tremendous sermon. But just to give you the context, in verses 1-4 of chapter 6, God tells us to give graciously, I believe. Talks about giving our alms. I said to our men in our prayer meeting, I've got a specific figure that I'm thinking about for next week's offering for us as a church. I mentioned it to the men for our special offering for this precious family that we love. Amen, church? He teaches us to give graciously. But then in verses 5-13, He teaches us to pray privately. He said, listen, don't be like the hypocrites. They just get on the street corner and they look at him and say, "Oh, Rabbi, Rabbi, why don't you pray? Oh, God, Heavenly Father." I could just hear the Pharisees praying, amen. I like Peter's prayer. "Lord, save me." That's a good one, amen. He says, pray privately. Why? Because what you pray in private, God will reward thee openly. I cannot wait to get to heaven and see some of the sweet widows rewarded. That just got along with God, Brother Trav. They just got along with God, and nobody knew about it, and then God rewarded them openly in front of everybody. Glory. Pray privately. Give graciously. Thirdly, verses 14 and 15 we mentioned this morning, forgive freely. Freely. Don't hang on to it. It's poison. Unforgiveness is poison. It just says forgive freely. Verses 16 through 18, we'll pass by this one quick. Fast faithfully. Fast faithfully. Tells us that. And then in that text, he tells us to trust triumphantly. The key verse I want us to look at is verse 30. It's the end of the verse there. If you see what it says there, Jesus is reassuring these folks about what He will provide for them. It says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? The term little faith, if you do a word search, if you've got a program like that, a Power Bible, or maybe even in your phone, a Bible app. The term little faith is found 5 times in the New Testament. 4 of them in Matthew, which we're going to look at all of them tonight, and the other one in Luke is a parallel account of this account. And I want to talk to you about little faith. Just as one can have great faith, one can also have little faith. And there are some obvious results and manifestations in our lives when we have little faith. First of all, number one is in our text. Little faith Christians are often, number one, fretful. Little faith Christians are often, number one, fretful. What does it say there in verse 30? He's telling them. He's reassuring them. Listen, God feeds the ravens. God feeds all the birds. Have you ever wondered about the food bill to feed all the birds in the entire world? You know what? Funny, a bird never has. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. Huh. When we have little faith, we're fretful. We're prone to worry. Now I know. See, you're a veteran crowd. You don't worry. You're concerned. Right? Mrs. Harmon's shaking her head. She knows there's no difference between those two things, Ms. Harmon. Just like it's like polishing up the hog, amen. You polish up the hog real good, you put the ribbons in and right to the slough, amen. Same thing. Worry. You know what? John Wesley said this, I would no more permit myself to worry than to swear. Now you think about that. I can't tell you the last time I said a cuss word. I can't, honestly. I try to go back to 20 years or more. But I can tell you I worried a lot of times. I shouldn't have. Come on. You know why? Little faith. Little faith. What does he say here? He says, look, God feeds the ravens. Go out and take a look at that beautiful lily. God's the one that clothed that. He's the one that takes care of the whole world. Do you know, faith in God is the secret to a worry-free life. Prayer and trust in His promises brings peace. You know Philippians chapter 4. What does it say there? It says there, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And then it goes on to tell us, be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Worry is simply a lack of faith. Look at verse 32, church. For after all these things, talking about clothing, raiment, the necessities of life, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. One of the great tragedies in America is the decline of fathers. We have Father's Day next week. I love Father's Day. I love the fathers in this room. I love the fact that the young men are trying to be the godly fathers that they ought to be. And the older men are trying to help them to be the godly father. But by and large, outside of the walls of the church, fatherhood is fading. Sad. You know what it does? It gives God a black eye. Because God here says, look, your heavenly Father feedeth you. Your heavenly Father knows you have needs. Me as a father, I want to meet all my kids' needs. The needs. I want to, you know what? Forgive me, I even want to meet some of the wants. And so does your heavenly Father too. Amen. As long as they're within His will. Amen. But people look and they say, well, you know what? Fathers don't take care of their children. And they look around and see all the terrible things that happen. Obviously, God doesn't take care of His children. Obviously, nothing. Listen, when we have little faith, we're fretful. When we say, God, I know You've got this in hand. I know You're going to work it out. I'm doing my best to do everything I can. And You know that. I'll tell you what, we're not fretful. We have bigger faith. But little faith Christians are many times fretful. Secondly, go with me over to Matthew 8:26. Matthew 8, you'll recognize this story right away. Little faith Christians are fretful. Matthew chapter 8, and you know the story here. Jesus is in the ship, amen, really starts in verse 23. Let's look there. And when He was entered into a ship, His disciples followed Him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but He was asleep. And by the way, this is the only biblical record where you find Jesus asleep. It's the only place where it says He was asleep. And His disciples came and awoke Him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. It'd be one of the most presumptuous statements in the Bible. Why? Who's on board with them? The one who created it all, amen. I love that song, Master, the Tempest is Raging. How many of you know that song? Great song, amen. What does it say there at the end? It talks about that Him who is master of ocean and sky, He's on board with us. They all shall sweetly obey My will. Peace be still. Peace be still. What do we see here in little faith Christians? Now look down verse 26. Lord, save us, we perish. And He said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of what? Little faith. Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey Him? They're not only fretful, but little faith Christians are also many times fearful, which is the twin sister of fretful, isn't it? Huh? We're still in Matthew. Go over to Matthew 14. Matthew 14. Another incident with the waves here and the storm. It's when Jesus sends His disciples out and He comes walking on the water. And you remember, He says in verse 27, straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered Him and said, Lord, If it be thou, bid me to come to thee on the water. And he said, come. You know, we give Peter a tough time for sinking, but last time I checked, there were still 11 more disciples too afraid to get out on the water. Amen. It says, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was what? Afraid. And began to sink. He cried, Lord, save me. And immediately he stretched forth his hand, and he caught him and said unto him, O thou of what? Little faith. Wherefore didst thou doubt? Jesus has the power to still the storm. Jesus has the power to rebuke the wind. Jesus has the power to calm the waves. But many times we don't give Him place to still our hearts and calm our fears. Why? A little faith. By the way, folks, I promise you this, I am not preaching at you. I'm preaching with you. I've got that little faith too. So many times, Lord, how's this going to work out? You know, preachers have fears too. Preachers have frets, amen, all those things. I'm right there with you. Sometimes I think, my goodness, could you have any smaller faith? Jesus said mustard seed. I feel like the seed of a seed of a seed of a mustard seed. Amen. Why? We get fearful, don't we? Hey, maybe I could speak for Lem and Katie here. How's it going to work out? We got a mortgage. We got a baby on the way. But I know, listen, I've been in their presence. They're not saying that. Now, by the way, in private, the devil works his thumb on us. Amen?
All the time.
In public, he's saying, I know God's got a plan. I know God's going to work it out. Yeah. But you know what that is? Faith. And not of the little kind either. Fretful. Fearful. And then I like this one. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And you remember here, verse 6, I guess, look with me. Jesus said, talked about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he put them to silence, basically, and he does that all through his ministry. It's one of the great highlights for me of seeing how Jesus puts the scoffers down, the religious, the overly zealous religious, and then the liberal religious, you know. He says in verse 6, then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And he went on later to talk about it. He was talking about their doctrine. That a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And by the way, one of my jobs as a pastor is to guard this church from false doctrine and false teachers. The Bible says they creep in unawares. The next thing you know, they're in. My heavens, a church in our area just thankfully voted no on a pastor. Thankfully voted no. And they had in part of their doctrinal statement that they believe that fundamentalism is a problem because they only believe the King James Bible is the Word of God in English. Listen to me. That's somebody that's creeping in unawares. I'm sorry. I don't know the man at all, but they're creeping in unawares. We'll not have it here.
No.
You quote out of some cockeyed version, you won't be teaching long. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So Jesus is instructing them here about the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the leaven. But look what they say. Verse 7. I love the disciples. They're so human. Amen. You can't relate to the disciples. You're just not relatable, I guess. Amen. It says, and they reason among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. That's, he's talking about leaven because we forgot the bread. Don't you love them? I'm telling you. I love the disciples. And look what it says in verse 8. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith. Why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you don't understand that I spake unto you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how he bade them not to beware of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. People of little faith are fretful, fearful, and then lastly, you know what they are, and we are? Forgetful. We're forgetful. Here's the thing. If they forgot to take bread, Brother Merrill, with Jesus around, they don't have anything to worry about. And that's what he was saying. He said, look, don't you remember when I fed 5,000 men with 5 loaves? And then remember we fed 4,000 with 7 more loaves? Remember all the baskets that were taken up? And I love that story, by the way. One of my favorite Bible stories. I can just picture the little boy who brought this little lunch coming home with 12 baskets. Amen. And explaining it to mom. How'd you like to be there for that tall tale? Amen. You're not going to believe it, mom. Amen. You know what we are? We're a forgetful people. When we get in a pinch, when there's too much month at the end of the money. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Brother Tim, when the jobs aren't coming in, and the bills still are, we get forgetful about how much God blesses and how much He provides and how He takes care of us. Let me give you just 3 quick applications tonight to help you. Of course, listen, first and foremost, and I don't even have it in the notes, if you're going to increase your faith, you've got to read this book. Got to. But you not only have to read it, you have to heed it. Like I mentioned before, a lot of people read the Bible, but they don't do what it says. Okay? So, just 3 quick closing applications to help you with, if you've got little faith tonight, remember this, you have a heavenly Father. You have a heavenly Father. You're here tonight and you're a Christian, you've been saved, you've asked Christ to be your Savior, you have a heavenly Father. And just like if my little girl came up to me, and she's doing this all the time now, I'll say, do you want some goldfish crackers? And she'll do this. She looks like a bobblehead doll now, amen? And she'll come up to me and she hadn't seen me all day, and she'll say, up, 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 up. She wants me to pick her up. And I try to be a good father to her. But our Heavenly Father is 1 billion times better of a father than I am. You have a Heavenly Father. You can put your faith in Him. That's the second application. Not only you have a Heavenly Father, but you can trust Him. You can trust Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. You know where our own understanding is? Worry, fear, forgetfulness. That's our understanding. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. We can trust in the Lord. Why? Because God put it in His Word. He can be trusted. He can be trusted. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be. Amen. Hey, we like that. Because that's all eternity. How about today? How about today? You can trust God. You have a Heavenly Father. And then lastly, you can depend on Him to provide. We're in Matthew. Go back to chapter 7. I mentioned this verse this morning. Matthew chapter 7, that sometimes happens in messages, studies get crossed up, amen? But it's good. Matthew chapter 7, look at verse 11. It says then, oh, go back up to look at verse 7. Ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? My kids are going to ask me for food when I get home. I guarantee it. I already told them we were having ice cream, Brother and Sister Hauser. Amen. Thank you for that ice cream, by the way. We had the Hausers over today. But Eric said to me, I thought you were going to make popcorn, Daddy. Because I always make popcorn on Sunday night. I can tell you what I'm not going to give him, Brother Lowell. Gravel. Here you go, son. Enjoy. Not going to do it. Then what does it say? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Lukey says, Daddy, can we have fish sticks tonight? Nope, we're having snake sticks. No, probably not. Look at verse 11. I'll tell you what, I've got it completely underlined, the whole verse in my Bible. If ye then, being evil, we're sinners, come on, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more So your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him. You can depend on Him to provide. Ask. Ask. But you know what? If you have little faith, you usually have a little prayer life. Why? No sense in wasting your time. Right? Well, it's convicting, isn't it? When we think about our prayer lives. It's convicting. Hey, you know what? When we have little faith, we're fretful, we're fearful, and we're forgetful of what God can do. Well, you know what I say tonight? Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. Help us to get in the Word of God. Help us to, when we read something, to swallow hard and take it like medicine sometimes. And to do what it says. Father, bless.